But good morning. I hope you're all excited about being here, and I hope you're excited about watching this online, but also communicating with each other and being able to kind of congregate together. I hope you're all doing well this morning, and I hope you've been able to worship with your family as well, and kind of have family worship and keep that up. It's important for us to keep connected to each other and our Savior through worship. And if we can't worship together, y'all are just now getting this. Oh, your sound is working now. There we go. Okay, thank you. My wife is texting me. So, but anyway, it's important for us to connect together. It's important for us to stay connected through worship. And so I think that's important to do as a family, but also corporately here online. And so I pray that we're coming to the end of this stay-at-home stuff. And I do see a break in the clouds. I'm hoping that the first Sunday in May we'll get to worship. We may be having a social distance still, no hugging, no handshakes, staying 6 feet apart, every other pew, something like that. We'll figure it out. But we could be in the same building worshiping together, and I'm ready for that, and hope you are as well. So let's start off looking at our Calvary Port Acres Creed. Calvary Port Acres Creed today, and if you want to say that out loud in your home, that's fine. Just say that with me. We believe in one God, creator of all things, eternally existing in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I love that creed. That's one of my favorite ones. I like all of them, but that one just kind of puts it all together in my mind. So let's kind of dive into the message this morning. You know, I know it's not Thanksgiving week, but I just felt the need to be thankful and to share these thoughts with you. We have so much to be thankful for, even in times like this. Being thankful is a must. Sometimes I feel like many here in America are not really thankful for much. It seems we've created an ungrateful society. Maybe not seem that way to you, but I can see things all over the place where I'm just kind of like, are you not grateful for what we do have? Of course I hear people say, I'm so thankful for this or that, but are they really thankful or are they just hopeful? Hopeful that it'll all go their way, so they say I'm thankful, just so they don't jinx it. Let me explain myself. I think maybe our motives for why we're thankful are sometimes skewed. I've heard well-meaning and very sincere Christians say, be careful. If you're not thankful, God may take it away from you. Or maybe you've even been asked this question. If you woke up tomorrow with only the things you said thanks for, what would you do? So our needs or desires become the motive for thankfulness. If I'm not thankful, I won't get this or that. To be fair, we're taught that as a child, aren't we? Say thank you, little Johnny. If you don't say thank you, you won't get any more candy. So the self-focused gratitude is a learned behavior from birth. We even see this in occasional well-meaning statement. I thank God for my answering my prayer. Would we still be thankful if he didn't answer them the way we wanted? So I think our motive needs a change and our thankfulness purpose needs to be reset. Our focus about thankfulness needs an adjustment. Listen to what Paul said about his motives for thankfulness in 2 Corinthians 4:15. Well, maybe. There we go. He said this, all things are for your sakes, so that the abundant grace through the thanksgiving of many might overflow to the glory of God. All these things are for your sake, so that the abundant grace through the thanksgiving of many might overflow to the glory of God. Paul is dealing with his own ministry and what it is like. He began the chapter by saying that his ministry was directed and empowered by the mercy of God. Paul says because of this, he will never in any way water down God's truth. The subject or focus of his ministry is and always will be Jesus Christ, Christ and him crucified. Paul tells us in this chapter that there are people who are blinded to the grace of God, even when Christ's love and grace is shown to them. But it is by that grace that the light of their truth can break through to their hearts. Paul endures so much for Jesus' sake, and his willingness to suffer and die is strong evidence for the truth in Christ's gospel. Paul ministers life to the churches by revealing to them the life of Christ. The thought of standing before Christ surrounded by all of the saints in Christ is so exciting to Paul that he says in verse 15, it is all for your sake. All my suffering, all my preaching, all my labor is for your sake, so that the abundant grace through the thanksgiving of many might overflow to the glory of God. But it is not in there. Yes, his ministry is for man's sake, so they can know the life in Christ that he has. But beyond that, his ministry is fulfilled when God's glory is exalted. When all eyes are off of the man and all eyes fall upon the Creator God, holy hands be raised in praise for God and his abundant, amazing grace. So be thankful plays a very crucial part in the purpose of Paul's ministry, and it should be in our lives as well. Paul says, all events of my life, the suffering and the struggles, were done for your sake, for the purpose that the abundant grace might overflow. He desired that God's abundant overflowing grace would actually overflow in your lives. What a motivation. What a purpose. What a focus. Think about that thought. What if everything you did, every action, every struggle that you endured, every word that you spoke, every trial you went through, were for the sole purpose of seeing God's amazing grace overflow in the lives of those that you have influence in? That would be amazing. And the result to a community that you lived in would be epic. How does God's amazing, overflowing, abundant grace flow out to those around you? What role does being thankful play in this? It is through the thanksgiving of many that the grace of God overflows to all those around us. Psalms 107 says this, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord speak out or say so." I like that. "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." And everyone shout, "So." Speak out. Think about this thought. If our focus and purpose for the Thanksgiving was for the purpose of seeing God's grace overflow to the world around you, how would that impact you? Would we be more thankful in our lives? Would our thankfulness seem more genuine? Would the things in our lives that we have a hard time truly be thankful for seem less important or less of a factor in attitude and gratitude? There's a cool connection from the word grace to thankfulness. Grace in the Greek is charis, and thankfulness in the Greek is eucharistion. Thankfulness is a natural response to grace. Gratitude is the feeling of happiness you feel when someone has shown you undeserved kindness. Grace is part of thankfulness at its core. It would seem then that our thankfulness in life is a direct result of the grace that is shown to us by God. So why do we not focus our purpose of our thanksgiving? Why is that not our focus? Why is that not our purpose? It's because we don't understand grace. Maybe. Have we somehow limited grace? That could be too. Have we put grace in a traditional religious box so that we pull it out during the God times in our lives and we put it back during the rest of our life? Possibly. I want to give a really simple understanding of grace today, and I hope it'll be something that you can hold on to and bring it out every day in your life. Most of us have heard grace defined as unmerited favor. It is something we received that we did not earn. But that is usually about the extent of it. Some have even felt that God's grace is limited or has strings attached. Even when saying the word from our own mouth, grace is unmerited favor, we still think, unless we don't do this. Somehow they still think it comes only when we show ourselves worthy to receive it, or we do certain things to get ourselves ready to receive this grace, this unmerited favor. I read this thought this week about grace, and I want to share it with you. Grace begins when one person is full and another is empty. One person is a have and the other is a have not. One is empty and one is full. Then grace comes into action as the emptiness of one is filled up by the fullness of the other. To be simple, we are empty. We have nothing to offer God to help him be God. We are born dead and can only offer death. We are born empty of life. And in no way can we fill ourselves with even a drop of life on our own merit. It is even when we finally come to the place in our life that we understand this complete emptiness of ourselves that we can see the need of someone who can give his life, someone who's not empty. I like that. You see, this is a repentance that Paul speaks of. This is believe moment that John speaks of. It is in this moment that we reach out in our hearts and desire the one who has life, the one who is filled with life, the one who is life itself, to fill our emptiness with himself and give his life. And this is grace. But many would even stop there when discussing grace, as if God's grace is extended to the lost for salvation, but then we need to work in his service to receive rewards and compensations after salvation. As if God's grace does not help us live daily through our struggles and trials. As if God's grace cannot lead us to live a life that is representative of the life we were given in Christ. Paul taught the exact opposite. He knew and taught that the grace of God was needed every day in his life. He says in 2 Corinthians 12:9, "But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness.'" Boy, I really thought about that this morning in my life, and so often this last few weeks I felt very weak. I felt very limited in my own achievements, and I felt like I was not sufficient in what I was doing as a pastor. And then I realized and see this verse and reminded by this, by friends, by grace are we sufficient because of Christ. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. His strength is made perfect, complete in my weakness. The writer of Hebrews knew that we would need God's grace in the low times of our life. Hebrews 4:16 says, "Let us then come with confidence to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." But this part of grace is even seen in many Christians. They understand grace up to this point even. But Peter talked about the multifaceted direction and function of God's grace. 1 Peter 4:10, one of my wife's favorite verses, "As many have received the gift, even so, minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God." As you have received the gift, now minister that gift of grace to others as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. He said we're to be good stewards of this amazing, abundant grace that goes in so many different directions. His grace is multifaceted and fills many holes. But there's one main area of grace that most Christians do not grasp. And this is where God's grace gets distorted sometimes. Many Christians wrongly think that when I teach about abundant grace or think about the idea of hyper grace, more grace than we can handle, it means that I'm teaching that God gives us a free pass that allows us to sin with no consequences. And others are hoping that that is what I mean, because for them, grace means permission to go live as we want to. Anything goes. But both of those views are incorrect with God's word and incorrect with what I teach. There's a little used passage that corrects both of these misconceptions of God's grace. But Paul tells us that God's grace does save, and God's grace then guides us to live godly. Because we see in Titus chapter 2, verse 11, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men." That's the salvation part of grace. Then he goes on, "Teaching us, denying ungodliness and worldly desires, we should live soberly, righteously, and in godliness in this present world." Wow, did you hear that? Grace teaches us to live godly lives. Grace teaches us to live soberly and righteously. When our mind is on grace, when we understand God's grace, us being completely empty and him being completely full, and him taking his fullness and filling us, and him still be full. That's grace. Not the law, not man-made rules, not religion, not standards, not to, get right with God kind of thing. It is God's grace. It is understanding his grace. His grace will teach us to live the life that we have in Christ when we have the proper understanding of grace. I would say that God's abundant grace is more than just for salvation, more than just for helping us through hard times. But God's grace helps us live every day of our life as we seek to serve in His kingdom for His glory. This is grace. If you're not in the spirit of gratitude because of this, something is messed up in your life right now. When you see and hear this and you're not excited and thankful, then something is messed up where you're not seeing it truthfully. This is why we can be thankful every day of our life, because of God's grace. And it is by His grace that helps us live in these thankful attitudes. We've heard many people who express thanks, and that thanks is somewhat vague because it is directed or not directed at anything particular. You may have heard people say, "I'm really thankful for my family. I'm thankful for my home. I am thankful for my job." They might say, "I'm thankful for my family or my friends. I'm thankful for the provisions in life and the good circumstances in life." You may hear them say that, and you think, wow, they're really thankful. But what is obvious to me is what is absent from these statements. Who are they thankful to? "I'm really thankful for my family." To who? "I'm really thankful for my home." To who? Blind chance? Luck? Random circumstances? Coincidence? Life in general? The Bible is very clear who our thanks should go to. "Oh, give thanks to the Lord. He is a source of absolutely everything good." Psalm 107 says it. "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever." The word mercy here is a Hebrew word that combines grace and mercy together. And that word is everlasting. "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." So, or speak out. There's an open, direct call to give thanks to God for His everlasting, unlimited, multifaceted, amazing, overflowing grace. For the purpose to allow this abundant grace to overflow to all those around you, for the glory of God. Our thankfulness should not be hinged on receiving good things in life from the world, or even good things from God. Our thankfulness should not be connected to a motivation for receiving more. Our thankfulness should be directly connected to God's grace in our life, and that others will see His grace, all for His glory. So the God who gives us grace is glorified above all else. How about you today? Are you thankful for the right reasons? Are you motivated by the grace alone to be thankful? Do you see His grace overflowing your life? Let me give you that verse again in 2 Corinthians 4:15. "All these things are for your sakes, so that the abundant grace through the thanksgiving of many might overflow to the glory of God." Boy, what a beautiful thought to think about there. To think about the glory of God being seen in our lives. And if I go through and kind of look at a few of your comments here, I'm just going to maybe show here as we go through. Some of you all have talked about it, and I'll throw them up on the screen here. Jay's going, "Yeah, let the redeemed of the Lord say so." So everyone say, "So." There you go. Thanks for putting up the Bible scriptures. You bet, Brenda. I hope that's helping out there. So when we think about knowing God's love and His grace, and we keep that focus, and we keep that that idea as a focus for all that we're doing, as a focus for all that we are thinking about, the focus that we're thankful. And so, church, I hope that, there we go, I have some so's there. There we go, got Lana say so. Cindy saying so. There you go, Jay saying so. So, all right. Speak out, church. Speak out with God's glory. Speak out in thankfulness. And, church, I look forward to seeing you again. I look forward to gathering together. Join us back here on Wednesday morning at 11. We have a morning Bible study on Wednesdays. I love you all, and I hope you're doing good, and I hope we can meet very soon back together in one building. And if you need anything, please contact me. If you need anything, please reach out to us and we see what we can do to help out and meet those needs. Church, I love you. Have a great day, and God bless.